So the Gallon House covered bridge nearest between Silverton and Mount Angel was ground zero in Oregon's battle over booze. Oregon has had a really strange relationship with the bottle. Good morning, my name is Finn John. I do the Offbeat Oregon History newspaper column, runs every week in a bunch of Oregon newspapers, and I've also spun off from the archive, which contains about 160 articles, the Offbeat Oregon Du Jour service, an RSS service, and that's what you're listening to right now. Brings a new story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History newspaper column every day, and you get it in your choice of text with pictures, in an RSS feed for your news reader, or an audio version for your podcatcher. So you're listening to the audio version. Offbeat Oregon Du Jour brings you true stories from Oregon history. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, Shanghai sailors and Skid Road bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries, just all sorts of good stuff. It's kind of a swashbuckling kind of thing. And best of all, you've probably never heard of most of these stories. But these stories are real. These stories are true, and I've got citations to the original reputable sources, which are included with the text versions. To get these delivered regularly, just direct your podcatcher to ofor.us/p, which will redirect you to the site. You can subscribe. That's P as in podcast, by the way. If you'd rather read them and see the pictures that go with them while you were waiting in line at Starbucks, direct your newsreader to ofor.us/t as in text. A couple things I want to let you know about. First of all, if the movie ratings people were going to rate any of the Offbeat Oregon stuff, they'd probably give it a PG. Sometimes the subjects are a little adultish, but not gratuitously obscene or violent or anything R-rated like that. Also, they're all covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license, which you can Google that for more information about it, but basically it means you can use the columns for anything you want, commercial, non-commercial, just as long as they're properly attributed. So today's column was published first on April 24th, 2011. It's about, it's about Oregon's odd relationship with the bottle, specifically about the historic covered bridge halfway between Dry Silverton and Wet Mount Angel in the Willamette Valley that became a meeting place for the thirsty and a symbol of Oregon's strange relationship with good old demon rum. Here's the story. If Oregon were going to have a civil war, it would probably be over a bottle of scotch, and it probably would have broken out at the Gallon House Bridge in Marion County. The Gallon House is a covered bridge, about halfway between Silverton and Mount Angel in the heart of the Willamette Valley. When it was first built, the entire state of Oregon was dry, or rather, it was supposed to be dry. A state law promoted by Governor Oswald West, a teetotaling progressive with a friendly state legislature at his disposal, had written into the state constitution that the manufacture, sale, or advertisement of intoxicating liquor would henceforth be verboten. In Silverton, the Protestant majority heartily approved, and a powerful temperance organization, the Good Templars, threw its weight behind the state law as well. But Mount Angel was not that kind of town. Founded by families from South Germany and Switzerland, it was as overwhelmingly Catholic as Silverton was overwhelmingly Protestant. Catholics, of course, took seriously the biblical injunction to take wine with communion. They weren't going to, as they saw it, take Oz West's word over that of Jesus Christ. In this, they were joined by lots of non-Catholics, too, who liked to drink now and then, once in a while, and really didn't appreciate the governor telling them that they couldn't have one. So, in much the same way that neighbors give each other packages of frozen locker beef stamped not to be sold, folks got around the law by giving each other spirits, hiding the money transfer that made it a sale rather than a gift. Although this was in utter violation of the spirit of the state law, it was perfectly legal as long as nobody wrote out a receipt, or even if the receipt was for a bottle rather than for its contents. This sort of thing would not wash in Silverton, where the municipal code got brave where the state law got shy, but in Mount Angel, it worked fine. So Mount Angel bottle and jug merchants did a brisk trade taking care of thirsty visitors from Silverton. Most of these didn't make the 5-mile journey all the way to Mount Angel, though. Instead, they'd slip out of town on a back road that few traveled and go about 2 miles out of town to the Gallon House Bridge, a brand new, at the time, covered bridge across Abiquaw Creek. On the Mount Angel side of the creek was a little shack, the Gallon House, at which the thirsty visitor could pick up a bottle, jug, or fruit jar to add to his collection. Naturally, this caused some tension between the civic leaders of the two towns, although I haven't heard of any serious incidents having resulted. Perhaps that's because the federal government stepped in a few years later with the Volstead Act, putting the entire country under prohibition and driving the whole liquor trade in both towns thoroughly underground. This amusing little story says a lot about Oregon's odd relationship with alcohol since its founding. The state was home to the first brewery west of the Mississippi River, the Blitz Weinhard Brewery in Portland, established 1856. But downtown Portland diners seem to have gotten a bit too diligent about supporting their local brewery. Half century later, in 1912, Portland industrialist Simon Benson noticed that the workers in his lumber mill were coming back from lunch slightly drunk. Why? There was nothing non-alcoholic available in downtown Portland for them to drink. Well, anyone who's ever pulled green chain knows how exhausting it can be to work in a lumber mill, and in the summertime, workers have to guzzle quart after quart of liquids just to stay hydrated. One doesn't have to be an ardent teetotaler like Benson was to see the problem with sawmill workers, having to choose between A, debilitating and job-threatening dehydration, and B, coming back from lunch at a dangerous industrial job involving circular saw blades and band saws and things like that, half drunk. Definitely a bad scene. Benson, when he learned about the problem, invested $10,000 to have water fountains installed all over Portland. These are the famous Benson Bubbler fountains, which are still in service today, and if you've never drunk from one, it's almost worth making a pilgrimage to Portland just to do it. They're really quite nice. There were other issues, too, not the least of which was the fact that right up until about 1910, it was very dangerous to get drunk in the presence of strangers in certain waterfront watering holes. You were likely to wake up with a lump on your head and a new job as a merchant mariner headed across the Pacific on a sailing ship to whose captain you had been delivered unconscious and wrapped in a tarp the night before by that friendly stranger who was buying you drinks. Perhaps that's why West found the state so amenable to outlawing beer and liquor a couple of years later. All the really hard drinkers had lost fingers in a drunken sawmill accident or gotten deported by the Shanghai gangs or met some other similarly horrific fate. No one was left to vote no. Well, today, Oregon is widely thought of as the microbrewing movement's home state. By 1994, there was more brewing activity per person in Portland than anywhere else in the country, and that's even including Milwaukee and St. Louis, although that may have changed since Blitz Weinhard was sold and moved its operations out of town. Yet it's been a while since anyone's been shanghaied out of a waterfront bar or forced to choose between dehydration and drunkenness on the job. When it comes to spirits, it kind of looks like maybe Oregon has finally found a good balance. That's it for today. You just heard Gallon House Covered Bridge, Ground Zero in Battle Over Booze by Finn J.D. John. That's me. First written and published on April 24th, 2011. If you'd like to see the art for this story or print out a hard copy for any reason, you can look it up on the website at offbeatoregon.com. That'll take you straight to a table of contents arranged by order of the date, so you just look down for the April 2011s and you'll find it right there. And that covers us until tomorrow when we will upload another one. So look for that after about 6 a.m. And until then, thanks a lot for listening and have a great day.